keys to transformation.
Our prayer is our feeling, and our prayers always get answered. This is something that I wish I knew. I wish that I really understood, because I was brought up Catholic, and being brought up Catholic, I'm talking about, every Sunday, holy days of obligation, say the rosary at night, and all of these prayers that we had were, I'm not worthy, I'm sorry, please help me out, kind of begging, if you will, to be forgiven, or to have something. Now, it's a whole new concept that our feeling is our prayer, and that it gets answered every time. It's kind of strange, and it when experienced, it can be very empowering. The problem here is that our feelings, at the beginning stages, when they're not trained, they are automatic reactions, right? We don't have responsibility for our feelings, because I just feel how I feel. How can I not? I'm angry. I know everybody tells me not to be angry or not to resent, but I do. It's how I feel. And these automatic reactions are actually part of our nervous system. And another word for the nervous system is the subconscious. Everybody knows that, our subconscious controls 90-95% of what's going on in our lives. But how does it do that? Well, it does it quite simply through giving you a feeling, giving me a feeling. And when we get that feeling, depending upon the strength of it, it can be very hard to resist that feeling. And this goes on the positive and on the negative sides of things. You know, when we're blissful, joyful, happy, there's times when we feel nothing can take us down. I just am. This is the best. Everything is going right. But this state is a state that eventually, with correct work, you can actually retrain your nervous system so it can go into these better feeling states and really not have yourself feel the things that are not resourceful. There's certainly room and for every emotion out there, and what's appropriate. There's a time and a purpose for things such as guilt. One of my teachers had told me, guilt has a useful shelf life of about 3 seconds. And in those 3 seconds, its usefulness is to help us with knowing that I'm off track. I'm off track. Just don't do that again. Okay, stop it. Okay. All right, don't do that again. That wasn't good. But any more than that is useless flogging. It's been said that we have a moral responsibility to be happy. A moral responsibility. When I first heard that, it's like, what? That's very foreign. But what they meant when they had said this, that we have a moral responsibility, really opened up when I understood that you're talking about the the moral responsibility to everyone around you. If you happen to be a mother, you happen to be a father, a brother, a sister, the feelings that you're holding, those negative feelings, have an impact on the people around you. If you have ever had a teacher, a coach, a parent, a brother or sister that made you needlessly suffer because they had not taken ownership of these automatic reactions that they're having. They're having a bad day, and that impacts you. The easiest way to kind of apply this or see this is somebody who done did it to you. You know, they had not been fair with you. Maybe they were an alcoholic or on drugs or something, and because of that, they were highly unpredictable and volatile, and that impacted you. So when we're around somebody who has, taken responsibility, they're not doing that, and they're actually in a joyful state. There are some individuals who are like that, and you can kind of see that that is really good for not only them, but it's good for the other people around them. It's almost like taking responsibility for the echo or the wave that goes out beyond us. And with taking that responsibility for what we're putting out there and that echo, it ends up dramatically improving our lives and those of the people around us. Ever notice those people that you were around that were joyful and happy and really made you feel good? Those same people you wanted to be around. You wanted to be helpful to. You wanted just to do anything you can to support that person because it's so great to be around them. And on the other side of things, those other people who can't control how they feel, those involuntary feelings, you find yourself very cautious, not trusting them, wanting to keep your distance. Those are natural ramifications of the impact of being irresponsible with the energy that we put out. Now, this is kind of a hard thing because for most of us, we all want to be doing the right thing. We want to put out something other than a negative feeling, but we can't help it. It just appears that people are being a certain way. They got it coming, They're not treating me well. But more than that, we all discount the impact of our feeling. We don't really think about it much. We don't think that I'm putting out any sort of negative vibe. It's almost a hidden feeling or a discounted feeling. And the reason that it's hidden or discounted from us is, a fish swimming in water doesn't realize he's in water. It's just how life is. And it's not really, our fault. Our nervous system gets programmed at a very early age, and it's just trying to keep us safe and help us to survive. But yet, our feeling is our prayer. And our prayer always gets answered. And this feeling can be one of lack. Maybe I find myself in lack. Maybe I find myself feeling like I can't get ahead because I'm victimized by the people around me or some circumstance, what I was born into, those sorts of things. But these things, later on at the very end of the show, which is if you could watch all the way through to the end, I'm going to give you some techniques to begin to reprogram the brain and nervous system so you actually don't feel those things anymore. And if they do come up, you have a couple of tools where you can just make it dissipate. And you're no longer like a victim to it. You've got a couple tools that you can use to make it better for yourself and for everybody around you. There's a couple of reasons why we might have these involuntary feelings that we never ever considered. And one of those reasons that we might have these involuntary feelings is that we had something called an adverse childhood experience. There's an actual, it's called the ACE score. This score is where you actually had certain things happen to you, like you were divorced, you were physically abused as a child, you moved schools a lot, or you didn't have regular meals at home. But there's a every one of these different adverse childhood experiences is tallied up, and they can give you a score. And these people with very high ACE scores are the same people that find themselves in prison or with lots of financial problems. They also, interestingly enough, they're recruited also, interestingly enough, by intelligence agencies. People with high ACE scores can also find themselves in situations where they have extreme pain tolerance, and also they find themselves in a little bit more morally pliable states of mind. But these childhood conditions, that happen, these traumas that happen, they actually can set up situations where we are more, and they scientifically know this, we're more apt to get infections. We're more apt to be incarcerated. We're more apt to also be victimized by crime. Now, how do we know this? Well, there's something very interesting. There was a study done, I think it was in the ni late 1970s, early 80s, where there was a camera set up on a very busy New York street like Madison. And they just filmed thousands and thousands of people walking down the street. Random people just being filmed walking. They took all of these videos, all these hours of people walking in the street, and they showed them to criminals that were incarcerated. And they were trying to find out how the criminal actually picks the victim. And they had all of these criminals watching to pick, their mark, who they would attack, or that would be their victim. And interestingly enough, you would think that it's going to be, the frail old lady, right? Easy victim. I could snatch her purse or, something like that. But it wasn't. It wasn't gender. It wasn't age. It was very strange. It turned out, after all these prisoners, they accumulated all this data, it came down to their gait, how they walked, how they walked. Well, their gait is an indicator of their trauma. Isn't it curious how people find themselves victimized multiple times criminally? You've heard this, I'm sure, many times, but they find themselves in the same situations, being a victim of the same type of crime. Well, in the work that we do at Cognitive Movement, one of the things that Liz Larson, my partner, had figured out is that we watch the person's gait. We'll have them walk, or we notice when they're walking into their appointment, we watch the way they walk. And we know that they have processed whatever trauma they came in with. When we see their spine straighten up, their stride become equal, the hands are involved, arms are involved equally, and a confident walk starts to, the hips become level, all the things, the shoulders not, slumped over. You see people kind of walking with their head over to the side. All those things, they stop. So the processing of your feeling of these automatic reactions ends up having this other side benefit. You're not the one that is looked to be victimized. It's almost like animalistic. People can feel a weakness and they attack. And this could be everything from just verbal attacks to physical or financial. There are I have a very large family, so I have a lot of nieces and nephews, and also some of my relatives are involved in actually being teachers at grammar schools and those sorts of things. And I found it so curious because I've heard them talk, the kids talk, and they're like, "Yeah, this teacher over here, we don't listen to whatever she says. We just do whatever we want." And other teachers, they're like, "Oh, don't mess around." They'll hup too. Same kids, but a different reaction to the different teachers. So not everybody is treated the same. And it is our feeling. Our feeling is felt, and then people actually end up responding to that. I mentioned that there's a hidden reason why we have these feelings, and one of them was those adverse childhood conditions. But there's another one that's even bigger than that, which I'm going to talk to you about right after this break, and we'll hear from our sponsor.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Good. What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
All right, and we're back. So, I mentioned before the break that there was a hidden reason why we might have these involuntary feelings. And that affects our gait, it affects the way our shoulders, and it affects how people end up treating us. And that hidden thing ended up being proven out here at University of San Diego. There was a Dr. Diaz who was doing experiments on mice. And these experiments, this specific experiment was when he put these mice in a box and there was the bottom of the box was electrified. And it could be turned on and shock the mice. And then what he had done is he had this vial of a fruity smell, and he waved the vial, took the cap off and waved the vial, so there would be the smell, this fruity smell that would come, and then he would turn on the shock, and the mice would get shocked. They'd smell the smell, get shocked. He did this repeatedly. Just, every day he would fruity smell, shock, fruity smell, shock. And, a few times, so it was random. They never knew, is it day, is it night, is it morning? They don't know when it's coming. So randomized, which is really quite traumatic. He then took the egg and sperm out of that group of mice and artificially implanted into other female mice. Those mice gave birth. Now, they never met their parents. They were separated. The mice that gave birth to these offspring were separated, never met. But he took those mice when they grew up, these offspring, put them in a box, wasn't electrified, and just waved the fruity smell over the box. The mice went nuts. And so he ended up repeating the experiment, meaning taking the egg and sperm out of those, creating offspring again. It was like many, many generations, and the mice were still going nuts when that fruity smell was put over the box. So what we know scientifically is that you can transfer a trauma from generation to generation. And in the work that we do at Cognitive Movement, we get to see a lot of people that have had trauma. And The first story that I'd like to tell you is about the offspring. I didn't, back in the 1800s, her family was slaves. And this particular person had basically the overactive, I think, thyroid, and they were going to take it out, you know. And we were doing the Cogno movement where, you know, we move the eyes and focused on the particular part of the body, and that was affected. And Cogno movement has this interesting thing about accessing the subconscious. Subconscious is the nervous system, but during the process of this exercise with her eyes and focused on the particular affected area, she had a memory come of being on the on a block. It was like a stage, if you will, where there was an auctioning of her, you know, happening as if she was on the block being auctioned, and the separation from the family, and, you know, because of the beatings and what have you, you know, like not being able to speak. Anyway, this entire process, very traumatic, a lot of tears, and really viscerally felt in the physical body. Well, most amazing thing afterwards, after that session, her life really changed. She began being able to speak her truth, you know, say the truth, her truth. And strangely enough, the thyroid went, they have hypo and hyperthyroidism, but it went from being like super overactive to underactive. And so they were going to change her medication after that. But that was a very, very interesting story about the having a trauma felt by further generations. Also had the honor to work with people that were offspring of the Holocaust tragedy, where there were so many Jewish people murdered by the Germans and the concentration camps and that sort of thing. And there was a tremendous feeling in those people of hypervigilance of, I got to watch out. You know, I have to watch out because somebody's going to get me. You know, they're after me. And you know, with that population, you know, over a long, long history, there's been a lot of victimization. So in the genes that have been passed down with all this trauma, the hypervigilance of being on the lookout. So this is a very real thing. You can imagine, you know, what your life is like if you're always on the lookout for, you know, something's around the corner that could really seriously get me. And it's not in all cases, this is not something that's like, you know, it's up here. It's a feeling in the body. That is that subconscious. It's the nervousness. It's a certain feeling somewhere, a feeling in the pit of your stomach, like something's about to go wrong. So this does two things. Not only do we experience having to live with this feeling, but also, as we know from the study related to a person's gait, we know that that's something that it actually ends up attracting. So our feeling is our prayer, and our prayer gets answered. And that's why this whole moral responsibility of processing whatever is keeping us from being happy, being joyful. We're here on this planet to joyfully create. And when we get back from our break here, I'm going to give you a couple of tips on how to start the process, how to start changing this so that you can have a more productive and happy life so that you can prosper, really prosper. There's financial prospering, there's prospering in your health, but when it all eight cylinders are firing, shall we say. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, and we're back. All right, so we're talking about our feeling is our prayer, and our prayer always gets answered. So, how do we end up getting into a state of a better feeling? Well, before we get into that, I want to just touch on a couple things real quick. And that is that there are different levels to life. There is a level where we're in reaction mode: shame, guilt, grief, humiliation, anger, fear, resentment, blame. This low level of feeling, in other words, a feeling that doesn't feel very good. And if our feeling is our prayer, and our prayer always gets answered, if you're having those feelings, if you find yourself involuntarily in one of those states, then life is going to be hard. Now, the next step up is where we don't feel those feelings, and a feeling of I like myself, and there's a certain amount of appreciation, gratitude for what I do have. We can see it, we can actually recognize it, and actually feel a grateful feeling. At this next stage of life, where we have elevated ourselves into this better feeling, what ends up happening is something quite strange. And it is where synchronicities and coincidences and positive things, positive feedback from the environment starts to happen. And it sounds a bit woo-woo, but it's not. It's just natural. And the way I can best illustrate this to you is, you know somebody like that. You probably know somebody, just like you probably know somebody things don't go well for, you probably know somebody who's generally happy, helpful, being of service, grateful for what they do have. They appreciate stuff. They see the good in other people. And those are the same people that, if it's authentic, it's not an act, that things seem to just go their way. And it's almost laughable for them. So this is the environment starting to respond. And what we're asking for in our prayer, right, before, is we want the environment to start responding in a positive way. So this is the simple way to do it. Now, when we go about the business of changing the feeling, there are a couple of different ways to free yourself. And the first one that I'll give you is a very simple cognomovement move. And that is to simply roll your eyes very, very slowly. And when I say roll your eyes, I mean all the entire way around. And you allow the feeling that you have, however you feel. When you roll your eyes, what happens is you forcing different parts of the brain into activity to look at this involuntary feeling that you're having. There's a second part which you may or may not have picked up on as I was talking about rolling your eyes. And that is, allow the feeling. Now, this one, again, I wish I had known this years ago. But it is our resistance to the feeling that keeps the feeling in place. So if I am nervous, for example, nobody likes to be nervous. I don't like it. Nobody likes it. So what we do is we try to push it down. Like, I don't like this. I don't like it. I got to do something about it. You know, maybe if I, whatever, take a hot bath or whatever. We're trying to get the body to relax. So what you do is notice there's a sensation of this negative feeling that you have, whether it is guilt or shame or anger or fear or jealousy, whatever it might be. There's somewhere that you feel it in your body. It could be anywhere in your body. It could be in your toes, seen in people's fingertips. Oftentimes, it's somewhere in the front of the body, but it doesn't have to be. Literally, it could be in your hips, your thighs, your ankles. But there's a sensation that goes right along with this negative feeling. And that negative feeling, if you just put your attention on it, right now, and you notice on a scale of 1 to 10, let's say, for example, it's a 10, and you just Allow it. Take away all resistance that you have to that feeling and allow it. It's almost like I give my body permission to feel this for the rest of my life. I surrender to it, and I'm allowing this feeling. Just allow it completely, utterly, and totally. If you do that, and you keep allowing it and allowing it and allowing it, and letting go of any resistance to the feeling, just doing that one thing, just I'm going to allow the feeling completely. And I'm letting go of I hate the feeling. I'm just allowing the feeling. Doing that alone, if you completely allow it, it'll take a minute or two and it'll go away completely. The other thing is that you relax your body. In order for there to be the feeling, there must be tension in the body. And the tension could look just like that. That's all it could just be that. That's all it takes. And it'll keep that feeling in your body. You relax it, and allow the feeling, and it'll go away. That technique, when you combine it with rolling your eyes very, very slowly, will allow you to begin the very first stages of taking control of your life. The quality of your life is relative to the quality of your emotions. And that emotion or feeling or sensation, whatever you want to call it, is your prayer. And your prayer will get answered. So as we eliminate these unwanted automatic reactions or sensations or feelings, what's going to happen here is that something else starts to fill the void. The more you let go of all of these old feeling patterns, the more you'll find that a feeling will just start to emerge where you become less judgmental of you, less judgmental of others. You know how it feels to be judged. Everybody does. Nobody likes it. People feel that from us as well. And the opposite is true. As you begin to feel these new feelings, where you're absent those negative judgments about people, they feel it. And the neurotic behavior that you've experienced from others really starts to calm down. They lose their fear of us when we lose our judgments of them. This is an amazing thing that sounds like something nice to, put on a little card or you might read an inspirational book. But this has been known for a long time, and it is how Saint Francis of Assisi, who had all the animals coming to him, he had lost all of his judgments, and they lost their fear. You'll find that even the animals will respond when you're in this state. And people are, right? We're all mammals as well, and so we will respond to it as well. So, reviewing again, the allowing of the sensation, notice what it is, 1 to 10, allow the sensation of overwhelm, fear, resentment, allow it. I'm not going to resist it anymore. I'm going to allow it completely. I'm going to allow that to take over my body, and I'm going to relax my body. Know that the tension, wherever the tension is, and I'm talking about micro tensions, that micro tension will keep it in place. So, relax the physical body. Notice the micro tensions, wherever they might be. A little bit of tension, relax it, allow the feeling. And use your cogno movement, eye roll, all the way around, very slowly. If you rip around and you blow, if you start moving your eyes quickly, what happens is you're not giving enough time for your brain and your nervous system to respond. You need to give it a moment to respond. So just relax and roll your eyes as you're let go of all resistance to that negative feeling. Thank you for watching today. If you like this, if you want more, there's self-help courses at cognomovement.com. That's cognomovement.com. You can go there and get the essentials course and start today. There's also in-person workshops. There's a big one coming up. It's a 5-day event. It's in Mount Shasta, California. It's coming up in late September, early October time frame, 2025, and that is an intensive event which will really help to release all of these involuntary feelings. Hope you enjoyed this. Please like, subscribe. If you're already using Cogno Movement, go to Google and Google Cogno Movement and leave a review for us. You'll help to get the word out and help to help someone else to know the positive experience you've already experienced with Cogno Movement.